Hello, this is Jim the Keys Bartender. I'm going to just do a short episode right here. I have to start creating content using this new application that they got rid of Spotify, got rid of the editing features, or is getting ready in January. And so I guess it's going to be through Riverside, and I have to figure out exactly what I'm doing here. I'm making sure that my I'm going to be able to edit, maybe do something a little better, maybe up my game. Who knows? There's always hopes for the future. So recently, if you go to my Facebook page, there is a story about my the heart attack back in March last year. And it's so funny that I guess I realized that I have been harping on that in a while, but I haven't really made it doesn't really play as big part of my life as I suggest it does. I think it gave me a different perspective. But what happened is that the entity I work for, the hospital, asked me about a month and a half after the, or 2 months after the event, when I came back to work. And they asked me if I would be willing to have my story, told to the people. And I thought, oh, well, I guess, since I do the podcast, I already told everyone. I even videotaped it. And you saw me the day of the heart attack. So, I mean, I did that on Facebook. I think I did a short one showing me, and then I did a whole podcast, maybe 15, 20 minutes, which was an effort. It was an effort, but it really wasn't. It felt like I was, my chest hurt a bit. And even though I was out for, they said no pulse for 7.5 minutes. I mean, it's neither here nor there. I guess when you don't remember anything of the event, there's no trauma because you'll be told them. It's like a character. It's like I was told this happened to me. I felt after I came out, I knew I had, they had cut into, they didn't get really invasive other than maybe cracking some ribs during the CPR, which I do not. I'm not complaining about it. Just felt you could felt the effort that was put into it. You know what I'm saying? I can feel it. Yeah, I felt it for about a month. It was really hard to breathe, but the they in the cut they put in defibrillator. Other than that, that was it. And the recovery was tangible, but there was very little trauma. And there was a time where I mentioned to people, I said, they do have film of it, don't they? The security cameras. And people at the, my friends who are involved in the health, that have work in the health industry suggested you should not watch yourself. It's traumatic. If you watch yourself being resuscitated or attempts being resuscitated would be a traumatic event. So maybe you should stay away from that. And you know what? I did not ask to see the video. I did not. So last night, after one of my 12-step meetings, I was talking to a one of the fellowship I belong to, and they were talking, we were talking about CPR. And he didn't know in particular about any everything that went on. We were acquainted. I remember the first time I met him, but we were on friendly. Obviously, everyone. I try to be on a friendly basis with everyone. So we are on a friendly basis. I find him to be a good guy to talk to. And he said he's been an EMT for years, or been in fire rescue for years. He said when he's presented with a victim of this type of health event, that he views it that when there's no pulse, that he's dealing with a corpse. And there's no wrong you can do, meaning you're not tentative about treatment, that you go in there without fear of doing harm to the person because they're already not with us. So the worst you could do is do nothing, and the best result would be that you can resuscitate them. So he says in between there is a need and requirement to perform, to perform CPR and do the things you have to do, present the treatment. And he went through that aspect and of how you do those things. And I have never been on present at an event where CPR had to be done on someone at this moment. I'm 60 years old, so I haven't had, I wasn't the person or the only person around for that. And I haven't been there where CPR was being performed on anybody in close proximity to me. So I was always concerned about that, how about my depth of knowledge, how it'd perform, the frequency, the because we do every 3 months, we do a refresher course using computers and mannequins, and you have to requalify every 3 months, which is great. I think it's great because you start getting almost the muscle memory of how to do compressions, how to give airway, give breaths to someone, how to prepare yourself for shocks, how to perform, sending giving people tasks, and how to switch out, what to do, how to check for a pulse. So, and then how to use panels, the pads for the AED. So that story that they posted the hospital just finally almost a year later, because March is Heart Health Awareness Month. They posted a story about it, and I reposted it on my Facebook, not Instagram, Facebook, and I'm going to say Twitter or X. I'm ready. I'm almost ready to quit X because I don't necessarily like the way the content's managed there. And I think that the guy that bought it may be a little too autocratic with his views. So I think they kind of screwed that up. But I know I'm more of a Facebook, Instagram guy. But that brought back memories of it. And it reminded me when I came back that I didn't really know what happened, and people said, "Why doesn't he want to talk about it?" And so I had no fear of talking about it. Obviously, you're a listener, I don't have any fear of talking about it. But I didn't realize the implications of it because I didn't feel the magnitude of it because I didn't see it. I just saw people's reaction, how upset they were, how relieved they are seeing me when they saw me come walking back in the door, like a couple a week or two later. When they see me walking back and visiting, going to visit the people that I went, I think in the beginning, it really did take a while to really collect my thoughts. But I did, I think within a week and a half, I was getting driven around and would go up and walk. And I could see people doing it. I could see how they reacted. I could see the things they said to me. They were saying, "Oh, you're a miracle. You're a miracle. You're a miracle." And I said, "Well," and then I started thinking about people's reaction. I go, "Well, how bad was this thing? How bad was it?" And the doctor that I went to, I didn't ask. I asked about care, what I should be doing, what I shouldn't be doing. I didn't ask about the likelihood of how serious it was, how lucky am I to be alive. And eventually, within about three, 4 months of it, someone said, "What you had, most people don't come back from." They don't survive. First, they said most people, and the EMT said most people don't come back from what you had. And then the people that do come back changed, physically changed. And I was fortunate on both things. I did. I had very little physical change other than a defibrillator, and actually I had some improvement because I had a blockage that I had for a long. It was a long-term blockage cleared, so actually my cardio health seemed to rise up a bit. But they detected a little, high cholesterol, and other than that, I know. Other than dying for 7.5 minutes, I was doing pretty good. But yeah, other than that, I am grateful and thankful. And I think my quote was insufficient in the article that they posted. They said, I'm truly grateful for everyone that participated in the recovery. And I said, I am truly grateful and particularly grateful for it. And it helped me gain a new perspective in the commitment of people to do their jobs correctly. Because I realize a lot of times people would have, it's a possibility could have called, could have called me off and say, that's it. It was they. I don't know exactly how long they do that for. It would be nice I mean, I'm going to look into it. That's what I'm thinking about doing right now. How long? Do the appointment, how long is a normal CPR thing before they call it quits? Hey, Siri, how long do first responders normally spend giving CPR before they call it quits? Let's see. If out of the hospital resuscitation, let's see, because I've been. CPR is violent, assault, a process, we crack ribs, break, blah, 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 a returning thing. My son defibrillation numerous times, saw fit to bring his younger brother here to claim the body. He still was nightmares of body bruising. Wait. Okay. Well, I will do a further search for that. It doesn't really tell me. And I will check that out. And I'll be, in my case, it was 50 minutes during an angioplasty. Oh, wait a second. Our protocol is 30 minutes. Good. 30 minutes. CO2 is a result of, in any case, drowning in cold water. Let me see. Someone, three times, CPR on hundreds of patients. This only happened to me three times. Well, luckily there wasn't a certified doctor there. No, I might have been in the clear, so that's a good thing. So I don't have to think anything traumatic about that. Well, this is Jim the Keys bartender. I don't even know if I'm going to release this, but let's see. I'm going to stop it now if I can, and figure out how. Let's see. How do I stop this? Come on.